times he's fire, all consuming. Sometimes his voice is louder than thunder. Sometimes he whispers. So I'll keep listening, waiting for him, and I'll keep trusting and believing that the same God who spoke all the stars in the place is the same God who speaks peace to me. Sometimes he's water to the thirsty. Sometimes he's fire.
counting on that. We just keep reaching out to him. We'll just become just like him.
Amen.
Amen. Not just more like him, but just like him. Yeah. Amen. It's good to be with you. It's good to have each one of you here. It's that the musicians have their seats. Amen. Appreciate the song service. Amen. We're going to open our Bibles to St. John chapter 14. St. John chapter 14, we've been reading verse 1. Will we read it down to the 12th verse? It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him."
Yes,
Philip saith to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it survive us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And then let's go to St. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. St. John 20, verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained."
Amen.
And then one more scripture reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Most of these scriptures we probably quote by heart. Ephesians 4:11, speaking of the fivefold ministry, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up to him in all things," not just some things, but in all things, "which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." That's a hard one to say. because Paul would lay out some really lengthy scriptures there sometimes, and that was one of them. So let's bow our hearts to him just for a moment in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house and to be able to just look at your word and just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and break the bread of life to your children. We thank you for each one that's gathered today. We're asking for your blessings upon them. Pray, God, that you just drive away every enemy that would hinder. Lord, that you would cause us each one just to have a clear mind, clear conscience, as we said and hear today. We pray, God, that you speak into our hearts, into our lives, Lord, and may be a strength to us and a guide to us and a counsel to us. Help us to understand our day and the message that we have. We love you, Lord, and we ask for your blessings upon each one. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to title this today, Life and Healing is in the Body. Life and Healing is in the Body. And before I do, I'd just like to make a few comments about our mothers, Mother's Day. Brother Daniel did a good intro a while ago to our mothers. I think we have the best mothers in the world, best wives in the world. And so, you know, there's nothing like truth, right? And there's nothing like what truth will do to believers when they receive it. And I think that our mothers are an example of what God's word can do in a world that is so messed up. And so we really appreciate the word of God and how it manifests itself in our sisters. So we know that God is the designer. He was the designer of male and female. He could have done whatever he wanted. He could have come out with 15 genders if he wanted to, and could have required every one of them to have to be together in order to produce life. But he didn't. He chose two. He chose male and female. And so I don't care what the world says. That's what God did, and so it requires both of those. And done right in God's way, it is done in the holy covenant of marriage, holy matrimony. And so we know that. And so with the two of them together, husband and wife come together, then they together are heirs to the grace of life, as the scriptures say. It takes those two, and that coming together under that environment can bring life into the world. I think about that, and I think about what kind of power a church could have that is united with Christ, and they can bring births. They can bring new births.
Amen.
Amen. And so, so God has instituted that, and we realize that Satan is a perverter of everything that God put in place, that is everything that's right. We know that that's what Satan is going to fight. He's going to do everything he can to hinder and change and upset and turn upside down what God put in place that is right. That's what Satan attacks. We know that Satan's Eden, a term that we're familiar with, Satan's Eden is designed to perfect his attack on marriages and on families and on everything that God put in place that is a way of life, of living. And so he attacks it in getting men and women out of their place, getting men to be feminine and women to be masculine, and getting them out of their proper place according to the word of God. That's what he's done. And so if you have a wife or you have a mother that has been able to avoid Satan's attacks on their position, then you should be very thankful.
Right.
And we'll give credit to God because he's the one that has done it. Right? We know that. But I think that we should honor the way God has fleshed out what he has done in the midst of our people and how his life comes through. I think we should honor that. And so if you have a mother who's godly and or a wife who's godly, you should be thankful every day, not just on Mother's Day. You should be thankful for that on every day, because that is a tremendous thing. Remember, the prophet said that she has a greater reward coming to her than the man does. How many of your sisters believe that?
Amen.
I see a couple of hands. This is God's word.
Right.
Right?
Right.
She's given that sacred responsibility to hold herself true and receive one seed, you know, one Christ, one word, one Bible in the spiritual. And you know, and so the prophet did say that, and I believe that because she has been tested, and you realize that's where Satan went. He went to her to make the fall. She's the one, the weaker vessel. And so when she's able to hold herself above all those things, then that's a tremendous thing, and she had a great reward coming because of that. So we appreciate our wives and our mothers. She is so important. You know, the prophet said the best thing that God can give a man outside of salvation would be a good wife. And when you translate, as I've said many times, then the best thing that Christ could ever get would be a church that would be obedient to him, a church that surrenders to him, that he could reproduce his own life through them. And she's so important. That church was so important that God came out of heaven to get her, to redeem her. And that's why the scripture said a husband, a man, would leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Did he not do that? He came out of portals of heaven to come and be with her and to redeem her. And so I think we as men should do the same thing. The scripture says that no man hates his own flesh. He loves it. Right? And that's, the wife is his own body. And so I think men should really live their lives for their wives, for their families, like Christ has done in an example. And of course, if Solomon said, you know, that, well, you know, she's a jewel in his crown, but as the prophet would say, well, she's water in your blood. If she's a bad woman, she waters down your life. And so we know that. But I, as I said, I think we have the best ones in the world, and we appreciate them and give honor to our mothers today. And so he came from heaven to redeem her. And so the whole entire Bible ends up with Jesus Christ and his bride. Right? And what do? They go live happily ever after in eternity. Right? What a love story. So God bless you, each of you sisters. Brother Daniel mentioned a while ago, your work never ends. I don't want the responsibilities that women have. I couldn't do it. Men and women are different, and I couldn't. I don't want it, and I don't want a life without my wife. Amen? I don't either. And a lot of times my wife's got a better idea about something than I do. And then Brother Samuel and I were talking about that the other day, and he and I agreed on this, that a man that thinks that he's always got the best idea and his wife is, he's ignorant. He doesn't know what's going on. And so when you recognize that in your wife, you should honor that and respect that. Be thankful for that. I am. I look at my wife all the time and I say, wow, thank you, Lord. You know. So, life and healing in the body. We realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is our, he is the Savior, he is the healer, he is the keeper, he's the guide, he's the comforter. He's all of those things, right? It all comes from him. He is the source of life. And anywhere that the Lord is, then you have access to all those things. Anywhere, because when he comes in the room, then everything's different. And so we know that and believe that. So when he comes in, he brings life. And so when he comes into the body, the church, he brings all those things. Healing, saving, keeping, guiding. Basically, to the ability to fix anything that's wrong. When he comes, he is here to bring those things. And so we realize in typing out the natural, typing spiritual, how that the body of Christ, like our natural body, we have many members. Paul speaks of this. We have many members, each one with different functions, but we're all part of a body.
Yeah.
Right? We are all part of a body. And so, but for each member, whether it's your arms, your legs, your liver, or your heart, whatever it is, the one thing that has to be in all that is life has to be there. Life has to be in each of those members to make them do what they do. And yet when life comes into each one of those members, each one of those members has something to offer the body.
Right?
Each one's got an own unique special gift, a special place. Each member of your body provides something else that other members need, and vice versa. Is a reciprocating. That's the way life is in the body. That's the way it works. And so we know that. And so that's the way it is in our natural body. That's the way it is in a church body, that we all are part of one another, and we all belong together. And when one's missing, then the whole body suffers, because same as a natural body. And so you see all that because of God's program. He's not going to have missing body parts. Right? As the prophet said, the bride is not going to have maybe one breast missing or something like that. The bride of Christ is going to be all there. Every member is going to be there.
Amen.
Right? And so when God has his way in our lives, then every member will be here. Everyone. And so when healing is in the body, when healing takes place, then there's nothing missing. They'll try to tell you that, you don't really need your appendix or something like that. Then why did God put it there?
Right?
There's a reason why. I don't care how smart they get, they're not going to outsmart him. He knows what he was doing.
Right.
So we know that each member has its own position and own thing, and the body receives blessings from that. And so when some part of the body is missing, then the whole body suffers. And so as long as Christ is in it, as long as life is in this body, death is just simply when life goes out.
Right.
And so, you could say, when enough of the members of this body fails, then life has to leave. It's kind of like a house. When you might have a broken window, you could probably live there. But if the roof blows off, you're probably going to need to move or repair it there. So, that as long as there's enough in place that the Holy Spirit can be there, then that life and healing and all the things you need is there.
Right.
But when a member is separated from the body, then that member can't live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It can't. Right. We know that. And so even though the Holy Spirit, as long as God is in his church, then that's good. And as long as life is in our body, that's good. But when you take one and you try to separate it away, that's why we know that we must be part of a church. We understand that. We must have a church. We must be part of a body. We have a responsibility one to each other. I may not. You may not. You may be sitting in your seat today and saying, I don't do nothing in this church. Well, you're sorely mistaken.
Right?
You're sorely mistaken, because every person has a place. This body of believers is blessed by your presence. They are blessed by your prayers. They are blessed by you being a part of this body. And so we know that. And so we just want to remember those things. And this is why we're part of a church, why we're part of a body. You can't grow much when you're not part of a body. People who, you've seen it, They don't have very strong of a walk in the Lord. You'll see they're hit and miss and so forth in their walk with the Lord and in their church attendance and those sorts of things. And you see that there's results of all that. And I think that we live in, especially in this day, we live in an hour when God has done so much, and just the proper attitude toward God's word can make all the difference in our lives.
Right?
Yeah. Let me just say this. So, the prophet told us that we should be at church early, right? We should. The proper attitude toward these things will open the blessings of God into your life.
Right.
They will make a difference. And it's your choice. You can give God the last few minutes of your day if that's what you want to do. And you will reap the benefits of whatever that is. But you could give him the best part of your day, the first part of your day. You could do that.
Right.
And God honors those things. A lot of our Christian walk is about attitude. Attitude is altitude.
Right?
And so we know that. And so we want to position ourselves, as I've said a lot recently, put yourself into a place where give God something he can bless.
Right.
And so So take his word and his promises and conduct yourself accordingly and watch what he does. God will not be indebted to anybody. Right? So you can, as we've heard in the past, you can obligate God to fulfill his word. So position yourself accordingly. And these things, as a, you know, just like what I said, you know, about to wives and raise your hand or whatever. These are promises of God and they are true. We're going to talk about some things today, and they are true. And we've got to learn to take these things to the bank, as we would say, and believe God and hold him. Hold his, you don't have to do this, but as a phrase, hold his feet to the fire.
Right?
You won't have to, because he's more willing to fulfill his word than we are for him to fulfill his word.
Right.
But we understand that. And so we want to be part of a church and part of a body because I have a responsibility to you, and you have a responsibility to me. And if I'm just sitting home playing tapes, I don't have to live up to nobody.
Yeah.
I just do what. But when you're part of a body, and that body is trusting in you and relying on you're part of it, you've got a place and you've got a position. Well, then you know there. That's another form of pressure of God's hand that He can move and work in your life to mold you and make you, because. Nobody hates the other members of their body, surely. We love one another.
Okay.
And we want to live in such a way that we bless one another. I want to live in such a way that you're blessed. And I know and trust and believe that you want to live in a way that I am and the rest of us are blessed.
Right?
Right? So, you know, it just comes to mind, but, you know, we are the keepers of our vineyard. We have to. God's not going to do it. Right? He gives us the promises. He gives us the tools. But we have to keep our vineyard.
Right.
Right.
And it's the little foxes that come in and spoil the vine.
Right.
I tell you what, I planted the whole garden on Good Friday. And I walk out there and I had all kinds of pepper plants. And I come out there a couple of days later and some little critter got those little tender pepper plants and they're gone. Right? But you know what? Once those plants get pretty big, I know that there's other things trying to come, and they get bigger plants. It don't bother them. It don't bother the big plants.
Right.
But when those plants are tender and they're little, little bitty things can come in before Satan will come in before you get really strong in the Lord, before you get really established. He'll come in. Even just a little bitty thing can upset it. You understand? And so... We want to be part of a body and hold to those responsibilities. So Jesus said that these works that I do and greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. He also says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Another scripture that comes to mind that said, whosoever receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you will receive a righteous man reward. And so these works and greater works should you do. And I know the prophet said many times, he said, couldn't do greater works. It just means more of it. Jesus saying, look, I'm going to go to my Father, and when I go to him, then, and paraphrasing here, then he can come back in the form of the Holy Ghost and get into a church, and now there'll be a multitude of people doing the same things he did, and that's why he said greater.
Right, yeah.
But there's another aspect that he taught that we're going to talk about today, and you must believe these things because here's what the whole thing is I'm trying to get to today. Life is in this body.
Right.
Life is in the body of Christ. Life is in this body. And because life is in this body, then you can expect and you can do the things that life in the body is supposed to do.
Right.
No question about it.
Right.
Amen. So we're going to talk about that today. So we can do the greater works. So I'm going to read, and it's rather lengthy, but that's okay. Right? That Day on Calvary is the name of the sermon there. That Day on Calvary. I'm going to try and get you out quick today. And if you just keep pulling, we'll do that. Amen. That Day on Calvary. Now watch. Jesus said, and Brother Graham says, now watch how he stated it. The works that I do, the healing, the sick, the raising of the dead, opening of the blind, eyes of the blind, these works shall you do also. You'll do these if you believe me. You'll do these works, and then greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. A little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet you'll see me. Right? His believer will. I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive, but you can receive it. Right? Now notice, the greater works was to have the power in the church, not only to heal the sick by prayer, cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life.
Right,
to impart eternal life. The Holy Ghost was coming and given into the hands of the church to impart life.
Yes.
Oh, that's what Calvary meant. He's saying, you know, that day on Calvary. It took stooped, degraded men and women and lifted them into the place to be sons and daughters of God, to heal the sick and to impart eternal life. By giving the Holy Ghost to the obedient believer, men and women who were unbelievers, being made believers and imparted spiritual eternal life, how much greater is it to say to this sick woman laying here, I can pray the prayer of faith and she'll be healed. That's a great thing. And that's what he was doing then. But he said, greater than this shall you do. I'm going to give you power not only to raise him up for a while, but to give him eternal life.
Right.
Right? Life is in the body. Remember in the scripture, just to come to mind, remember how that they had Philip had to go down and to preach to the eunuch? Why couldn't the angel just do it? Right? Because life is in the body. But to give them eternal life, which will be eternal forever. Poor, blind, wretched people, how do you miss that? Don't you see what the greater thing is? That's the greatest thing that could ever happen, was to impart eternal life to people. What is eternal life? The life that he lived, the life that was in him, and impart that to others. Can a man do that? A son of God can.
Yep.
I'm still quoting him. A son of God can. Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit, to them they are remitted, and whosoever sins are retained, to them they are retained. Now, here's where the Catholic Church and many other churches made a big mistake. They go out and say, I forgive your sins. That wasn't it. How did they get sins forgiven in the Bible? Go always back to the Word, right? How do you get sins forgiven in the Bible? Peter answered that question on that day of Pentecost. They said, what can we do to be saved? How can we get this that you'll have? You're all God, is what he said. And he laid down the prescription. He told them what to do. He said, repent, every one of you, repent every one of you toward God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? The remission of sins. And that's the greater works. And so what the prophet is telling us here is that God has, when the Holy Spirit moves into you and you become a Christian, that presence of the Lord is now with you. And now you can go do the same thing, and you can go and you can pray, and you can, you know, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick, and you can impart eternal life. How? Not by just saying, well, I forgive your sins, but by carrying the same message that got you, by preaching the same gospel, by giving the same prescription. When you say it and you tell it and you preach it, that is the same life that can impart eternal life if it's received.
Right.
You have to receive it. Right? God has given us that ministry to be able to do that. Why? Because we are now in his stead.
Right.
It's him. You have to realize this is not you. You're not where you are in the Lord because of you. You're where you are in the Lord because of him.
Right.
Him coming in.
Yes.
Amen. We believe that. Jesus also said, all things are possible to him that believeth. I'm reading a quote here, spiritual food in due season. We all understand what healing is. It's nothing that somebody does for you. It's what God has already done for you. Salvation on the same line.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many members of Brother Ram saying that if Jesus was here right now, he couldn't do any more for you than because he's already done it.
Right.
You have to receive it.
Right.
The only thing is to get the people to believe that that is true. And God teaches in his word, and then he proves it to them who will believe it. For he said, all things are possible to them that believe. And you say, there's nothing impossible with God. You believe that? There's nothing impossible with you either.
Right. Amen.
What he said.
Right.
For all things are possible to them. God is one person to them that believe. See? So there's nothing impossible with you, for you, if you can believe it.
Right.
Amen. Well, that's a major thing, but I'm trying to show you where God has elevated his church today.
Right.
By the coming of the Lord, by the opening of the seals, he has changed our status. I was saying here the other day that when John was weeping and crying because of that book was, no one could look on. No one was found worthy to open it or not even look on it. Can you imagine that? That was the revelation of Jesus Christ and the bride in there. The revelation of our life in that book of life. That's what was there. And it couldn't be known. Right? Couldn't be known by us. God already knew it. But it's there for us. And we couldn't be known. And so John, the type of the church, was weeping and crying because that has to happen. That redemption has to take place. That revealing of what's on that book has to come out.
Right.
And so John was weeping. But after the Lamb opened the book and the angel descends from heaven, he has the book in his hand and it's open. And John now is told, now go. And not only can you go and get that book, you can eat it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
John's status had been changed. From a church that couldn't know and didn't know and had no clue hardly what really the full plan of redemption was, now transformed into a place that he could know it and could eat it and become the very expression of that very revelation that was hid in that book. It was a mystery. So the church here at the end time is being elevated. Our status is being changed. Well, it's being changed from church, but I'm going to call you bride so you'll know, so you'll understand. A status change, which now gives us access to a lot more than previous churches, previous ages had. And it's because it's the hour. It's because of the time that we're here. And so, because of these things, we should be in great expectation here in the last days for these things to God to manifest. Because we read there in the book of Ephesians, how we talk about how he put fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints till we grow up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. You have to realize God is, remember how Brother Ram said that all that God was, he poured into Christ. Well, before he poured it out into Christ, he was in all those Old Testament saints living out types and shadows of Christ. And then when Jesus came on the scene, he was the fulfillment of everything that had been done in type and shadow form up to that point. He was the fulfillment of it. Amen? He made sense of all that. When David said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Jesus made sense of what that meant. Because he was the fulfillment of all that was in mystery form. Well, then the prophet tells us that God turned around and he took Christ, had a mystery in him, and so Christ poured himself into the church like God poured himself into those people. He poured himself into his church and living out seven church ages. At the end, there is a bride church that stands up that makes sense of everything God did through all the seven church ages. All that martyrdom, all those things with Luther and Wesley and Pentecost, all that, There is an entity at the end, and it is none other than Christ again,
right.
Yes. But in bride form.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. In bride form.
Right.
And so when that comes, that's the head to the body.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the capstone to the rest of the church ages. It's Christ. It's all been Christ all along. It was him throughout all the ages that caused them to give their lives willingly in the dark ages. It was Christ and Luther that made him put the 95 thesis or whatever on the wall there or the door at Nuremberg. It was Christ in them doing that. But now here at the end, God is going to come on the scene into a group of people, and that group of people is going to be the full redemption of all that that laid there. And it happens through the opening of the seals, through the elevating of John from just like the rest of the churches, but now coming to a place to understand and become the full manifestation of what was hidden. Okay? And so, because of this, we have great expectation of what God wants to do and is doing in his people. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to say, well, this is what God did do, and this is what he's going to do, and miss what he's doing right now.
Right.
Amen? And so, but the scripture said we would grow up. So the church throughout the seven church ages would be in a form of growing. And at some point, those churches would grow up into the full stature of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right? To the full stature. In other words, grow up into the manifestation of the head to the body.
Yes.
Right? And so, we know that the seven church ages, we know the pyramid, right? The pyramid needed a capstone.
Right.
It's so interesting to me that I just thought that Brother Ram is the one that said, well, Enoch built that big, large, that pyramid of Giza, the one without the capstone on it, the one with all the missing casing stones. And I heard, I think it was Lonnie Jenkins saying that when him and Jeff were over there, that the tour guide told him, Enoch built this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they know. But it's interesting to me, and you know how the pyramid, through all the different construction techniques, it's a calendar, it's a prophecy, it's telling about future ages, it shows the ages, seven church ages, and the king's gallery, and all those things, the king's chamber. All that's in there, and it's interesting to me, that was all God had, all that created back then, and it stood the judgment. But he told him, here's Enoch, and Enoch walked with God. You know, the scripture said he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Well, remember the prophet saying if somebody does something, if meets God on the same terms, he has to do the same thing he did with anybody else, if they're the same terms. So Enoch was the only one walking with God. Because if anybody else walked with God, he would have had to have raptured them too.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so here's a man that was so obedient to God, so pleasing with God, so obedient that he just, God just gave him a body change.
Uh-huh.
Right? And he was the seventh from Adam. Typing up, here at the end of the last age. Who would become so dedicated, so walking with the Lord and so obedient. But when you look at that, here is Enoch, and he builds this pyramid, and I can just see him building just exactly the way God told him, and then he gets almost done, he gets all the way down, and all that's left to do is just put one more capstone on there, and God says, stop. Don't put it on there. Well, you know how we would do. Lord, I've spent all these years, we've done, and you're going to tell me I can't finish this? But that's not what Enoch did. Enoch was obedient. Why? Because there was a reason why that capstone wasn't put on there,
yep.
Right? And so what I want to show you is that the capstone in itself is a complete perfect pyramid by itself,
right?
Right.
Right.
The rest of the churches, they're not complete. They might be leaning in that direction. It might be, but you see, they're not complete until that capstone comes down. And so the thing that is complete in itself is what it takes to finish off the rest. So an end time bride, see, Christ had to be the fullness, he and himself, but then when he was set down on all the Old Testament saints, they could come up in a resurrection because he was put on there and he was their completion. Well, it's Christ again today, doing the same thing. That when he comes, he comes in bride form, and that is in itself, because why? The bride has the full revealed word of God. She's got the whole thing.
Right.
She's complete in herself. God could just take it right there and just go on. But she becomes the one that brings the rest of those ages out of the grave. That's why Brother Ren said it takes this message to resurrect the Lutherans and the West Indians, all those down through the ages.
Right?
But it takes Christ coming again, coming into that full headship where the church grows up to become full equal with him, Christ in headship form. Then that whole movement will bring the rest of men in resurrection.
Right.
Amen. We should have great expectations for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
The head to the entire church age is there waiting on us. Amen. Amen. Paul said they without us can't be made perfect, right? Right? They're laying there waiting on us. This manifestation that's going on now. Amen. You may not feel like that you are headship quality. Right? But you get to set in and you process and you think and you act out word that the rest of them have not been privileged to. And who did that? God did.
Amen.
So it puts you in a special position because of something he's done. Not, we didn't do it.
Right?
And so it should create a humility in us to know, to not say to all the rest of the ages, ha, you're nothing without me. That's not the attitude. But the attitude is to say, thank you, Lord, because you're going to use me to bring them up. You, what you couldn't or didn't do in them, you're going to finish it in me. And I get to be Redeemer. I get to be part of redemption to bring the rest up. Right?
Right.
And so it should create a humility in us and a life of obedience to this word. That's the cry of us as Christians. God, I just want you to live your word out through me.
Right?
To become a people who are not just churchgoers, but people who become the living word for the day.
Right. Yeah.
So that living word being expressed can do what it needs to do.
Amen?
Amen? Mm-hmm. And so the last time I checked, with all, a human body with all the members, they got to have a head.
Right.
They got to have a head. Somebody has to grow up into that full measure of Christ. Somebody has to be on this earth to manifest headship of Christ in bride form in order for there to be a resurrection of the saints, New Testament saints, because all the Old Testament's done went up, right? That rapture had already happened. But for us, for New Testament, for our grandparents and great-grandparents who were Christians and believers that's gone on, they're waiting, right? They're waiting.
Right.
Amen. So the pyramid needs the capstone and is incomplete without it. The seven church ages need the headship, incomplete without it. Amen. So we're growing up into him. And so we should be expecting headship quality in our lives. We should be expecting a revelation surging through our veins as it were, surging through our spirit, our being. A revelation that they didn't have. The revelation of Jesus Christ. We should have that surging, and because of it, we should expect the kind of conduct and the kind of results and the kind of things in our life to take place that meets headship quality. That's where God's taking us with his word.
Right.
To be Christ manifested again. Capstone. I like it in the scripture where it says he should bring forth the headstone with shoutings, crying, grace, grace. Double grace. New Testament is age of grace. But he comes in at the end time with another measure of grace.
Right.
And makes her bride. another one. You notice that was tied to Zerubbabel. He was a prince there, but it's a type of the coming of the Lord today. Because it was to rebuild the temple, what? Restore the church in our day, a coming of Elijah to bring a restoration, right? And Zerubbabel was his, it says, the plummet's in his hand. I know people don't like this, but see, the plummet was in his hand. We're gonna rebuild this temple, and this temple is going to be constructed according to this standard, what's in Zerubbabel's hand. That's what's going to be used, and everything's going to be built, registered to that. But people don't like it when you say there's a man that God had done a work in his life, that becomes a standard, that the entire building of the church and this, the finishing off of these things are all tied to that right there. They don't like that. But what we got to remember is that no man, man's nothing. It's what God has done.
Right?
As I mentioned last week, how Brother Branham was there with all those 400 ministers there in Chicago. And I was talking about how that these were cream of the crop men. They were high up and their whole lives were given to the word. And they all said, "You're wrong, Brother Branham." And God proved that they were wrong.
Right?
And I said, see, it doesn't have anything to do with the man and how hard he studied and how many levels of degrees he's got. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the fact that God called one man, a prophet, to be that plummet, to bring that plummet. And they all perished. But see that just like Jesus said in his day, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think they're talking about you. You think they're talking about your denomination and your system and how much you've studied and all the things that you're going to do all this. They are they that testify of me," talking about himself, to testifying of the one that God had sent to be the standard. And I've said it before, in humility we can say this, but the church today can say the same thing to the church world. Search the scriptures. Search all the Revelation and seven church ages and all these things in Ephesians. Search it out. You think it's all talking about you and your organization and all. Had nothing to do with all that man's effort that's been put in there. What it has to do with is there's a people God has called, and he's dropping that revelation into their heart. Right. And we stand back and go, "Why me? Why do I see this?" There's a lot of people on this earth that are a whole lot more studied and what appears to be much better people that you'd think God would give it to them, but he doesn't. When he brings it, he gives it to humble people.
Right.
And that's who gets the revelation of it. Why? Not because they're great, but because God chose them. That's who it is.
Right.
That's the difference. Amen.
Right.
So that we need headship being manifested today, and God has brought us the revelation to do that. Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody has to manifest it.
Right.
And the one that will only be the one that God has called to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she's predestinated not to do what Eve did.
Right.
Her womb is sealed. She can't not be touched by those things. She cannot be touched by Trinity doctrine. It will have no place in her. She knows serpent had a seed. You understand? See? And you know, it's like, well, you mean if you don't believe what Brother Branham, I'm not talking about what Brother Branham said. I'm talking about what God has revealed. Yeah, and Jesus said, "Hey, unless you believe that I am He, that I am that manifest, you will die in your sins." Why? Because you're not accepting what God has sent.
Yeah, right.
And it's the same today. Yeah, it's not a big people. It's just what has God done, and that people could say the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless you believe what God has done,
right,
you'll die in your sins.
Why?
They might not have died in their sins 100 years ago before this happened. But when this happens, my sheep know my voice.
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
And they will follow when that's happening.
Yeah.
Right.
And no person who's a believer or a Christian can condemn what God is doing.
Right.
Because they recognize it. Why? Because they have the gene to recognize it.
Yeah. Right.
See?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
That's how important it is.
That's right.
So
why we must know what God's doing in our hour. We are that people.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And don't be afraid to be it. Amen. Don't be haughty with it. Let this mind be in you, which was Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, right? But know that God is doing something. And don't be afraid to express it, be what it is.
Amen. Right.
Because Satan wants to back you into the corner and say, oh, yeah, I'm the bride, but I don't want nobody to know. Because they might say, well, who do you think you are? Who you make yourself? Well, he said that to him.
Right.
Who are you making yourself? I'm not making myself anything.
Right.
Except what the revelation is that God has dropped into my heart and into your hearts.
Right.
That's
exactly
the difference.
Yep.
So it's gotta be headship manifested in our day, or there will not be a resurrection of the saints. Yeah. Which means there will not be a body change for us.
Right.
Right? Does that make sense?
Man.
Right? Will not happen until somebody manifests that headship. And so, now when we say that, then let's look to the scriptures there when it said in Ephesians that we would grow up into him. Find it here so I can quote it without trying to do it from memory. Amen. But speaking, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things,
yes,
which is the head, even Christ. The head, even Christ. Church growing up into that status,
right,
that it's the head being manifested. Remember how that Nebuchadnezzar, you know, was the head of the gold, and then it went from gold to more inferior, going top down. But Jesus started out the feet going up through the gospel, yep, and the apostles taking the gospel out, and then and all the way up, and then come all the way to Pentecost, which was tongues, right?
Right.
And then after that, it was a seer, a prophet. But then after that, it's the mind,
right?
Right, the head, the intellect, the understanding to govern the rest of the body.
Yes.
So God to move in his church in this hour, it was such a movement that this end time church can govern the rest of the saints that went on in seven church ages. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Grow up into that. Amen. And so growing up into that head, and so it says, so verse 16, growing up into the head, which is Christ, from whom? Where did this come from? It comes from the head.
Yes. Amen.
From whom? From Christ. And where's Christ? He's in headship now.
Right.
Through the opening of the seals, he's come down, and through love, it's being capped to the rest of the church. From him. Amen. From whom?
Right.
Right? The whole body fitly joined together. It's his plan that there was going to be seven ages and this member of the body and this member of the body and how all that. It was his plan. It came from him. And that him is now resonant in a bride people,
yes,
expressing right, a full vindicated word with divine interpretation.
Right.
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 Amen. It's all come from him. From whom the whole body joined together, fitly joined. His wisdom to say, I'll have Paul in that first church age, and I'll put him right up against Irenaeus, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, all the way up through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. It's his plan. I'll fitly join every part together and make this body, grow this body. I'll put it all there. It was his wisdom. Right? From him.
Right. Amen.
That's where this come from. Then if that's where it come from and he comes into a people now, what kind of revelation should we have?
Right. Right.
Still tossed to and fro? No.
Nope.
Not tossed to and fro. From him. And compacted by every joint, that which every joint supplies. So So he made all, and said it's going to be all these different members, and each of those members has a purpose and a reason, right? We couldn't be where we are now if it wasn't for Pentecost before us, and Wesley before that, and Luther before that. That fire of God that was lit for that first church age and has carried through the ages now is with us again. Right? It come through all the ages. Not a strange fire. That's what the rest of the church world did. That's what the Catholic Church did. They brought a strange fire, and you know what the results is for strange fire. But God's fire. Because it's something God's doing. And he had all those members, and he says every one of those members is compacted by that which every joint supplies. He knew exactly how to marry one age to the next age and overlap with one age and overlap to the next age. Right?
Right.
Every joint supplies according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, according to what each age had to contribute to this great revelation. Each one, right? But it takes a headship to make sense of it all. It takes a head to get that body to rise up and become that full manifestation and for people to be able to look back and see the revelation of Jesus Christ through all ages. It takes that kind of revelation coming forth for people to be able to see it. It takes, it, you know, it's so interesting to me that all this stuff was going on while that prophet was there. Just like the rock cut out of the mountain without hands. Right?
Right.
You know, and Daniel. Hitting that image of defeat with the iron and clay toes of east and west. 10 toes east and west. Khrushchev. And iron, Eisenhower iron, Khrushchev clay. And it's like, how many times can people deny these things with a prophet standing here and saying, we've got an Ahab on the scene right now. And Kennedy's kids are cursed just like Ahab's was. Right? At the same time, we have the YouTube plane get shot down and it beats his shoe on there to show us that it's Eisenhower, iron and clay, and they couldn't get along with each other. Right? And a prophet declaring these things.
Right.
And the audacity, the boldness of Satan to influence people to say, it wasn't nothing to it. Baffling to me. Because unbelief is, I don't know what phrase to use. We say ignorance is bliss. Unbelief, like, hey, unbelief, they can go however far they need to deny what is right in front of them. That's right.
Right.
That's right. Comes from him. Every part, there's a measure of every part, an effect that every age has, an effect that every person in this church has. Right?
Right.
Right. A body. Every part. And when all that's working, then it, look what it does. It makes increase of the body. When all this is working in a church, the church knows how to grow.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
When life is in here, this body knows how to heal itself. Right?
Yes.
Does a local assembly know how to heal themselves? If there's a member or something going, do we? If life is in there,
right.
It knows how to do it.
Right.
Of course, it has to be surrendered to it.
Right.
You know, if your body, and I don't necessarily know because I haven't studied this to have it, but you know, if your body takes sugar, right, and I don't know the process, but you have to have insulin, right? And so you got all this stuff in your body that knows how to respond, and insulin is used and takes sugar, makes energy, and so it can survive off of this energy and do all the things or whatever. And like I said, don't throw anything at me if I don't have this right. But what if the members of your body, what if all of a sudden somehow they become insulin resistant? Where's that insulin? Where does that come from? It comes from your pancreas. So what if You got a member in the body, and it's more than willing to produce every do everything it's supposed to do, be right on church and doing its job every time, but some other members refuse to receive the benefit of that. Well, then when you refuse to receive the benefit of that, now you can't process things like you ought to. You see what I'm saying? It's simple, but it's magnificently powerful to understand these things. That Satan will work on people and get them to the place where I don't accept that. I don't accept that preacher. He's not my style, so I don't listen to what he says or whatever. I can come with all kinds of examples, right? I can tell you, you fill in the blank, right? So, but here we show that his wisdom supplied all these things, and then yet we can come along and say, that's really not what God's doing. That's really not the way this works. And you know who that affects? You. It affects the body too.
Right.
It affects you. Right? Amen. But the body knows how to increase itself, and the body knows how to edify itself. And the only way you can do that is in love. Right? Because every one of us falls short. Every one of us will disappoint one another somehow, even when we don't want to. I don't believe anybody in here purposely does something to aggravate someone else, but we do it by mistake. And that's why he says, hey, you have to forgive. God so pivotally put that in there because he knew we were going to make mistakes, and he knew that we had to dwell together as a body and work together as a body or we're going to die. So work together as a body, forgive one another. Right? Because there are some times that some part of your body, maybe your stomach is upset, and your body has to compensate for that. And thank God it does.
Right?
Right? But you have to forgive. And so the whole thing is that coming from him, from headship, from the move of God in this day, from that, this body ought to be to this place where it's fully 100% Christ, knows how to forgive, knows how to get everybody through everything, that life is in this body, there's healing, there's multiplying, everything is going on the way it should. Why? Because we've come to the fullness of the word to produce it.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. And that coming to that fullness of the word means that you don't just pull back and say, well, I'll just live by this teaching of some other age. You have to embrace headship revelation.
Uh-huh. Right.
Amen? You have to receive that. Amen. Edifying of the body into itself in love. Healing is a great thing. Amen. It's an attribute of God. He's the only one that does heal.
Right.
He works through his people to do it. Could you see what this end time church can become for all the churches of previous ages? Think about that day when those bodies of those saints that have slept come on up and are manifested, and we see it and we join with them. We have that sweep come over us, that real short moment, and think about that. Think about it. Every time I'm sitting at a train track and a train whistle blowing, you know how loud it is. Just absolutely. And I always get so inspired by it. You're like, by a train? Yes, because they put that loud horn on there to save life.
Yes.
That's what it's there for. And I just think, oh God, if people could just proclaim the gospel like that loud, get people's attention.
Right.
Right? But you won't hear the train if you got your boom box up.
Right.
You won't hear the train if you're off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to be engaged.
Yes.
That's right. It marvels to me at how little it takes for people to miss church. It does. How can God bless that? He can't. Right? Because his word says, Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and even the more so as that day approaches. What day? This day. This day when there are nuclear weapons hanging in those hangars, or whatever they call them, those silos, ready to go, and haven't been in previous ages, and now we are, in that day, right? Don't forsake yourselves. And you know what? Here's the thing. Satan will make sure that there's something to keep you out of church. He will. And it's back to what I said at the beginning. You can serve God however you want. And you can take what comes at you, and you can analyze that, and you can either do it your own with your own thinking, or you can say, the Word of God says, and you can conduct yourself according to the Word and be blessed by it, because God will not be indebted to anyone. Right? You can do what God, and so when Satan comes at you with something, you can say, you know what? I ain't falling for that. I'm coming to the house of God. I'll deal with that later. And God will bless you for doing it. Right? And I understand sometimes there are things that come up that are absolutely totally out of your control. And again, those situations to see how you respond to it. Okay? And I understand that. But it marvels at me that people will lay out of church, not read their Bible, whatever, you know. I'm talking about total dedication, not just church coming, but for something that really doesn't matter, that they could deal with later, but they go ahead and let that be the thing that dictates them. And I know I'm plowing, but is it true?
Yeah.
It's true,
right?
Give God stuff that he can work with. Elevate yourself up into this headship revelation of the revealed word. Quit letting Satan cause you to question things that's been thoroughly vindicated. Listen, this message is already vindicated. It is.
Right.
I'm looking at a bunch of it right here. Yeah. The fact that you can sit in the belief of the end time word in the midst
right.
of Satan's Eden, and in the midst of all this religious horse riders and stuff, that's vindication. You are his victory.
Right.
Right? You are his victory. It's one thing for him to raise from the dead and come and say, have you any meat? And do the things. But what's even greater is when he does that in us.
Yeah.
We're his victory. You know, the scripture said that you know, he put death under, right? But then it also says, but we don't see completely under. Why? Because he's still got to do it in you and I.
Right.
And the last enemy would be put is death. The last enemy that's destroyed will be death. What? He destroyed it in himself when he resurrected, but now he's in his church and he's going to do it in you again. And when that happens, that's it. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Amen. But it's not victory of child teaching, Luther, Wesley. It is victory in a revelation that's going to take this inbound bride and reach back and pull the whole thing up. You say, I don't understand how to do that, Brother Tony. You don't have to understand it. You just live the word.
Right.
You just live the word, and God will do the rest. Amen. So, we thank the Lord for his goodness. Edifying of itself in love. God bless you. Set the musicians come and pray. Bow our hearts to pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so, so happy, Lord, to be called Christians in this day. Lord, to see what you've done, to see how you poured out such blessings upon your church. And Lord, we see Satan fighting on every hand, trying to just destroy lives left and right. Lord, but we hold a token. We hold the blood of Jesus Christ over our loved ones and those, Lord, that you put on our hearts. And Lord, we know that in this hour, as we've said this morning, that you have a victorious church without spot or wrinkle. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you for these things. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to represent you in this earth. We pray, God, that you would allow us and help us to be diligent in all things, Lord, that we could grow up into you in all things, Lord, that you'd be able to manifest through us exactly how you have promised. We know that you get results, Lord, and so we're asking, God, for a greater revelation, a greater dedication in our walk with you, Lord, that you can manifest through us these things. Thank you for coming and dying on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you for sending Apostle Paul to start this church among the Gentiles and all the messengers through the ages. We thank you, Lord, for sending Brother Branham, Lord, the suffering that he suffered and Paul suffered, the different ones through the ages. They suffered, Lord, that we not do it, that we all could receive these things that we now are partakers of. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And we're thanking you, Lord, because even after the prophet left, Lord, you allow us to take that book and eat it. Lord, and it is sometimes, it is bitter in our belly, but Lord, it is such a glorious thing and empowers us to go and speak and prophesy before all kindred tongues, nations, and peoples. So we love you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You love him? How many is happy for an end time message? I don't know where we'd be without it. We wouldn't be hits yet, that's for sure. Let's worship for a little bit. If you love the word, if you love the Lord, just let him know this morning. Amen. Water the word with praise. No telling what he might do. The right attitude, the right approach to these things. You might need healing in your body. God might just sweep over it. Okay? Why? Because if life's in the body, those things are